Take your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 112, Psalms 112. Still amazes me that why in the world would God love me or love me so much? And I'm thankful for that love, thankful for a God that cares and loves for us. And what we're trying to do on this series is try to understand what exactly God's going to bless. And there's a couple of different angles. The fact of the blessed, talk about how we are blessed with so many spiritual blessings and how our iniquities have been forgiven and all those different things about the blessings of all the different things we have. And that's what Count Your Blessings, reminding us, man, we are blessed. We are so supremely blessed. And then we think about the word blessed and this is what the Bible says. This is what God says brings true happiness. Completely different than what the world says brings happiness. This is what the Bible says. If you do this, this is what will bring you happiness. And last but not least, in the year, we're looking at what the third part is, living a life that God can bless and supremely bless. Yes, we have so many spiritual blessings that come along with salvation. But then there's also God wanting to use us to bring glory and honor and to praise and show forth his praises and look and living a life that God says, there's something and someone, a life that I can bless. Tonight, inside of this, we're going to look at this idea of the blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. That idea of fearing the Lord or fear of the Lord is, I believe, one of the keys that unlocks so much in our Christian life. If you go through and you do a study about what the fear of the Lord looks like and the definition of it and the idea of all the different things that come along with the fear of the Lord, how it talks about being the beginning of knowledge, talks about the beginning of wisdom, talking about better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Over and over and over, all throughout the scriptures, fear the Lord, fear the Lord, fear the Lord. That is what will truly be a life that God can bless. But then there's a spot that actually says, this is what's going to bring you true happiness. And it's different than what the world says, different than what the world is trying to sell you. It's different. I mean, many times today, people do not want the God of the Bible. They want the God that makes them feel right or makes them feel good. They want the God of the Bible. They want what their version is. As I was reading, I get articles all the time. I don't always get the chance to read through all of them. I'm signed up on some emails. I get devotions from different people every single day. I also get articles, and there was one thing that this guy had written in the article, and he talks about prayer often, and he made this statement. He said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And that was Samuel in reference to when he was responding. But instead it says, he had that crossed out and it says, "Listen, Lord, for thy servant speaketh." And it's the idea that's what people want from God sometimes. God, I guess I want you to be quiet so I can talk. And it's the importance of listening. And then our prayer is about us speaking to the Lord, but it's also listening to what God is leading us and guiding us and directing us. And that's a special part that many times people leave out. If we're having a conversation with someone and we're doing all the talking, I don't know if we're really having a conversation. That person is doing the talking and you're just listening. And in prayer is important to taking time to think and meditate on the things of God and let the Holy Spirit of God speak to our hearts. And here, this actually says that the man, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Most people would say, this is the God I want. And they begin to form some version of, I can live whatever way I want. God doesn't care what I say. God doesn't care what I do. And as long as God is there for me when I need him, I'm good with that. And they want to make, and the problem with that is that everybody has different opinions of what God should be and God should look like. And so they begin to create, well, I believe my God does this, and I believe my God says this, and I believe this is what God wants, and this is what I believe God is really thinking, and this is what, and it becomes such mass confusion and the idea that people just have their own opinions. That's what you think. And we got to stop, that's what you think, and say, what does the Bible say? And that's the God we should be desiring. And here, the fear of the Lord is getting to this spot of instead of saying, this is what I desire, instead of saying, I want to know what God believes and what God says, and I want to live according to that. So let's start here, and we're going to start off in verse chapter 111. I know I said 112, but I want you to show you the four words that's found at the beginning of verse chapter 111. Praise ye the Lord. Then go to chapter 112, first four words. Praise ye the Lord. In verse 113, praise ye the Lord. So there is a praise there. What does that word praise refer to? It means to celebrate, to give glory to, even to make a show. One of my favorite verses when it comes to praising the Lord, found in 1 Peter 2:9. Some of you will remember it as, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That next phrase, that should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And so when we're talking about praising the Lord, we do it with our speech, yes, but we also do it with the change that God's made in our lives. They see your good works and they glorify your Father which art in heaven. They're not glorifying you because they knew you could not make that change, but God made that change. And if we would show forth his praises, and we should show forth, show forth the praises of him. And it doesn't just mean saying that. I think it means demonstrating the changed light that he's called us from darkness into his marvelous light. And because of that, there's been a change in my life. And yes, I may speak with my mouth the praises of the Lord. And that is important. That's why we sing the songs. And that's why we worship him with our praise. But it's also an action that happens that I'm praising the Lord with the life that God has changed me. I am submitting to him. I'm giving myself over to him. And I'm showing forth the change that he's made. I know there's some things in my life that I could never change or I would never have been if not for the Lord. And so when it comes to this spot, he says, praise ye the Lord. Now go to the end, the verse, chapter 111. And it begins to talk about the fear of the Lord. 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endure forever. So we see this here, it's the beginning of wisdom. Some people are like, well, I need wisdom. This is where it starts. A good understanding of who God is. Having a good reverence and a fear of the Lord. Then it says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. And there's two things here. And I think we're going to get to both of them. But we're going to spend most of the time about the fear of the Lord, fearing the Lord. But look at this next phrase. That delighteth greatly in his commandments. They're intertwined and they go hand in hand. And we remember first message in this series on that Sunday morning, January 1st, blessed is the man, and talked about all the things that the blessed man does not do, and talked about the things the blessed man does, talking about in his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law shall he doth meditate day and night. So we know that those things that he does not do and those things that he does. And here we see two directives that says, this is what's going to make you happy. And so many times people say, if God would just do this for me, or if God would just kind of lessen up a little bit, or if God would just change this, I'll be happy. And the Bible says, no, that's not what happiness is going to be. Happiness is finding out who God is, and then respecting and reverencing him with that fear of him, that you love him and that you don't want to disappoint him and that you don't want to fail him. Now, when we come to verse number 2, it says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. I believe in verses 3 down to verse number 10, talks about some of the benefits of fearing the Lord, talks about some of the delighting. And so we're going to read through those quickly. We're not going to spend a lot of time in them, but many of those things are easy to be seen, I believe. And it says, so these are some of the benefits. Verse number 2, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Man, that's, I want my seed, my family, my children to love the Lord. And they're saying they're going to be mighty on the earth. It's, I believe, is a person who learns how to fear the Lord. That's the person who has a good understanding that reverences God and that fears the Lord. That's their seed is going to be affected by that. They're going to grow for that, and they're going to learn from that. And they're going to see that the happy man is the one that fears the Lord instead of a person that's floundering around all the time and miserable because they're not trying to live according to God. God's plan and God's path and recognizing who God is. Verse 3, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endure forever. We could skip over that and pretend like it's not there, but I believe this is referring to even when it's written in the Old Testament. I think it's the fearing the Lord is for there today, but the wealth and riches that are talking about ours is not always financial. It is not always something that you're going to be that wealth and prosperity thing. It's not. Not in the New Testament. We saw what happened to many of the disciples, many of the apostles. Now, we are blessed in so many different ways. It's above riches and wealth. But there was many promises to the nation of Israel. If you do this, you're going to see the land. If you live, you follow after me, you fear the Lord, he's going to bless. Verse number 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endure forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. So you look at all those different things, and those are all, I believe, tied into the benefits of a person who fears the Lord and a person who delights in keeping his commandments. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help tonight as we look at this idea. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you offer us so much. You tell us wisdom's available. Not only do you tell us wisdom's available, you should teach us in the book of Proverbs. It's crying out to us. It's there. It's available. But what unlocks that wisdom is, Lord, is the one we learn to fear you. God, I pray that tonight you will help us to see and understand the truths that are found in your word. Just the tip of the iceberg of all the different promises that are connected to having a proper fear of you. God, would you help us? Help us to see and understand. Help us not to try to create some type of God that we desire that you would be, but instead we would learn who the God of the Bible is. And Lord, that we would not want to do anything that would fail you or disappoint you or bring harm to you. Lord, I pray you help us to see that not only are we living in that reverential type fear of you, but Lord, you say in your word that this is what actually will bring happiness to our hearts and our lives. The world paints a picture of a God, if we are fearful of and we reside in fear of him, as a God that cannot bring happiness. But God, over and over we see in these scriptures, there are certain things you tell us will bring happiness that contradicts what this world says. Lord, help us to see that tonight. Help us to embrace and seek after what the fear of the Lord looks like and the fear of God, and that we will desire to search after it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you haven't been here the last few Wednesday nights, I know many of you have, but we've looked at different things that bring happiness. We talked about the type of service in washing the disciples' feet that Jesus said, happy are ye if you do that. And then we talked about giving. Once again, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And then talked about the scriptures. It's not just knowing them, it's doing them over and over. This is what will bring happiness, or this will put you in a spot that God can bless. And there's just so many things that are contradicting what is found in many pulpits today, but also what's found in the world, what they're trying to push and trying to say. And I know just recently, I wouldn't say recently, but in the last few years, I was discipling with someone, and we went through some courses, we went through some chapters, and got to the spot, and they said, hey, can I ask some questions? I said, sure, ask some questions. And then as the conversation went across, they weren't really interested in biblical things, and we talked about the fear of the Lord. She says, I don't think I should have to be afraid of God. And I says, I think you have the wrong understanding of what the fear of the Lord is. And I would like to explain it a little bit tonight and talk about the importance. But there's somebody's, it was the same idea, the same picture that many people come across as, I want this to be my God. And they wanted to develop and picture what they thought was the best thing that God could do, the best thing that God could say, the best way that God could react. But in our feebleness and in our flesh, in our mind, we can't comprehend who God is. We can't comprehend the love of God completely and totally. And it's in this idea that you must learn from him and from his book and the things that he reveals unto us, and not just try to picture and make up some type of God, because that's what the world wants. They want their God, but their God is not the God of the Bible. And so let's look here. Let's consider some of these things of the fear of the Lord. And once again, it's probably going to be a little bit more of a topical message in the idea of the fear of the Lord. It's just so good and so rich with so many different things. If you want to write down some of the scriptures, we're not going to turn to all of them, but there are plenty there that you can think about. First one I want you to think about, it's probably one of the more familiar ones, is Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instructions. You say, Pastor, you've been using this word, the fear of the Lord. What is it that you mean? Most people consider fear being something that, hey, I'm afraid because of how someone's going to react in a bad way towards me. And we live in fear. Some people don't like snakes. And most of you know my wife doesn't like snakes. That her response is with fear when she sees that. She wants nothing to do with it. She cringes. And some people are afraid of a multitude of different things. We went through that one time. We looked at a bunch of different fun things, or what some people consider funny. Some people are afraid of the color orange, and some people are afraid of, you know, little things or big things, whatever. But he said, so what is the fear? And I think it's two-sided when you talk about this. Some people talk about it being a healthy reverence and respect that motivates us to live in a such a way that would not grieve God. And that's where I believe a lot of the times it talks about the fear of the Lord. We should live with a respect and a reverence that motivates us to live in such a way that does not want us to grieve the heart of God. But I think sometimes people forget about the other side. He is a holy God. He is a God that says, you're going to sow what you reap. He's going to say, be sure your sins will find you out. He is a just and a holy and a righteous God. Actually, if you take your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 is one of my favorite passages when it talks about the fear of the Lord, but also the love of the Lord. Luke chapter number 12. And here, he's there and he's teaching. And he puts to me a good perspective here about a God who is holy and who is right, and someone who we understand that he is able to cast our soul into hell, but also one who knows the number of hairs on our head. Look what it says in Luke chapter 12. In the meantime, when there were a gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered, but that shall not be revealed, neither hid, that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you spoken in darkness shall be heard in light, and that which you have spoken in the ear and in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. But then he says, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after they have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he have killed have power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Amen. So there is a fear there, and there is a fear that we tell people, look, we need to want to fear eternal damnation. We want to make sure we understand there is a hell out there, and there is a perspective there of that this is not a place you want to go to. What does the Bible say how you can stay out of there? What does God say about it? And that's what he says, you know, fear not, you know, the one that can only kill the body, but, you know, fear him that can kill the body and the soul. In verse number 6, it says, and not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Let's go back to Psalms 112. But so in that perspective, for me, it's saying, look, there should be a godly fear. Yes, he can bring judgment. He can cast people's souls into hell. There is a fear there. You think about it. Think about some things. He rained fire down on Sodom and Gomorrah. What did he do with the Egyptian army? The Red Sea destroyed them. And even if you think about during the time of the Great Tribulation, where things get so bad that they talk about the rocks falling on them. He said, well, that's a little different. Those were unsaved people. Well, you think about Mount Sinai, when all those people came and they were there and they feared God because of the presence that was there. And they were up there and they were saying, Moses, you go talk to him. We don't want to talk to him. And Moses, whatever he says, we'll do. But then how many days later and they're worshiping the calf? I want you to understand that there is a two-sided thing to this when it comes to the fear of the Lord. I don't want to minimize the fact that he is holy and that he is a holy God and he wants us to be holy. His holy nature cannot coexist with sin and he desires for us to be holy. And I don't want sometimes people to make up their own God and say, oh, this reverential fear, God doesn't really care what I say and God doesn't really care what I do. And that's not what the scripture teaches. It teaches us over and over what holy living looks like and what we should be doing and what we should not be doing. The whole book is filled with things like that. But there is the one that as a believer, we get to a spot where we understand the fear of the Lord and that idea of reverence and of respect that motivates us to live in such a way that we do not want to grieve God. Here's a definition that I thought was good that was written by somebody different than me. I don't have the name down. It says, the short answer is that we are to have a reverential awe of God. But the fear of God is more than that. It is a continual awareness that I am in the presence of a holy, just, and almighty God, and that every thought, word, and action is open before him. To stand in awe of him, to reverence him, to honor him, and to respect him. It does not mean that we cringe and tremble at the mention of the name of God. But it does mean that we honor and that we respect him and we reverence him. It means that we stand in awe of his greatness. And there is much, if we would learn to live with that, I don't want to disappoint him. I remember reading a story, and it might seem kind of, I don't know, basic what we're talking about, but there was a story told about there was some teenage girls that were out doing something as a group of girls, and then a guy comes up, and guy messes everything up, right? When you're a teenager, you don't need to hang around that much with the opposite sex, so because the guy comes up, messes up, says, hey, you want to go to a party? Well, at this party, there's wicked things going on. There was drinking going on, and there's other things that were going on, and some of the girls wanted to go, and there was one girl who was known for going to church and doing things that were right, and she says, I'm not going to go. And the boy was teasing her and says, are you afraid that your dad might hurt you if you go? And her reply was, no, I'm afraid I might hurt him if I go. So what does that mean? It means I don't want to hurt my father by going someplace I know would disappoint him, that would fail him. And if we would look at that and say, as I stand in awe of God and reverence of God, I don't want to do that because I don't want to disappoint my father. I don't want to do something that's going to hurt or grieve the heart of God. And if we would live with that type of thought, is not is it right or is it wrong? Is it what's best? Is it what God desires for me? If God, and I tell you that as a parent, I see sometimes things that children do and that my sons have done, and it grieves my heart. I wish they wouldn't have said that. I wish they wouldn't have done that. And I think about my own childhood, and I'm thankful that my sons did not treat me the way I treated my mom. And I say sometimes, man, when I was growing up, I was smart aleck, I was quick tongue, and I would say things. I tell her all the time, I'm sorry, and she says, oh, you weren't that bad. And I was like, well, I think I was. She's just being kind and generous to me. And it grieves me to think about the way I treated her sometimes. But I wonder how much it grieved the heart of the Heavenly Father to watch me do that. Very rarely does my two sons argue. It doesn't happen very often. They're, I believe, good friends, and they love one another, and I'm thankful for that. But when they argue, that's something that grieves my heart. And sometimes I wonder how God looks at the way we act amongst brethren, and I wonder if it grieves his heart. And so out of a fear for the Lord, my desire is to look at this and understand who God truly is, and then live a life that is doing my best not to do anything that would bring a grief to him or grieve the heart of God. So how do I do that? First of all, I can't create who I think God is. I have to learn what pleases him and what displeases him. I have to learn those things that he wants me to do and those things he doesn't want me to do. That's a whole part of the Blessed series on Wednesday nights is he says, this is how you're supposed to serve. This is how you're supposed to give. This is how you're supposed to obey. This is how you're supposed to trust. These are the things you're not supposed to do. These are the things that you are supposed to do. Those are the people that I can bless. But not only does he say that and the idea that the reward is that I'm not grieving my Heavenly Father, he comes to a spot and he says, this is what's going to make you happy. And I think that's amazing because if you listen to all the world, all those rules and all those restrictions and all those things that God says you have to follow, that you're going to live a miserable life. You're going to be unhappy. You're going to be this. You're going to be that. And he says, the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, the God who knows all things says, you're going to find happiness when you learn to submit to me and love me so much and fear me to the point that you do not want to disappoint or grieve my heart. So we're going to look at some different promises, not just benefits of happiness. We're going to look at some different promises that come along with or benefits that come along with fearing the Lord. And if you like to write them down, you're welcome to, or you just like to pin down the scriptures. But before we get to them, I want you to remember the fear of the Lord is something that's demanded. It's not just, oh, that's a nice thing. Maybe I should put that in my thought process. This note is consciously living in the presence of God to the point that you say, the things I say, the things I do, I don't want to grieve the heart of the Father. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. When it all boils down, the conclusion of the whole matter is fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Deuteronomy 6:2 says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. And we're thinking, that is a miserable life. And God says, this is the life that you're going to be blessed. I know we manufacture happiness. We manufacture things that bring us forms of enjoyment in this flesh. And we say, you know what? I'm really happy. And in some ways, for a period of time, we can find happiness. But when the circumstances change or when that show gets done or when that thing wears off, whatever it is, our happiness goes away. But he says, if you will live a life that loves and honors and pleases and fears me, then you know what? That happiness stays because you're living for the one who has made you. The world will tell you, no. If you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this, those commandments are grievous. But he says in 1 John, he says those commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments and his commandments are not grievous. There is a connection that's found here in Psalms 112 where it says that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. It's the idea that now I know what God wants me to say. Now I know what God wants me to do. Because I fear him, because I don't want to disrespect him, and because I don't want to disappoint him and I don't want to grieve him, he has given me these commandments, and because he's given me these commandments, I'm rejoicing and delighting in them because my heart desire is to not to grieve him. If you're married, I think you might understand this, especially if you're a husband married to a wife, you don't always understand your mate. I think most men would say, I'm never going to understand women completely. And that's true. Maybe some ladies would say the same thing. And the last thing I really want to do, at least the majority of time, is ever do something that's going to grieve my wife's heart. I don't want to disappoint her. I mess up enough. The last thing I want to do is mess up. But sometimes I just don't know what she would want me to do. Any other guys ever get there, been there? I mean, you wish you could see inside her heart and say, okay, this is what she wants. But sometimes I don't think she even knows. I mean, the reality is, I don't know. I'm like, okay, do you want this or this? I'm not sure. I don't want to make a decision and then it not be what she wanted because I don't really particularly care sometimes. And sometimes when decisions got to be made, obviously I'm the head of the household and I make the decisions, but I don't want to grieve my wife's heart. And if she would just explain to me, instead of just saying, you should have known. I mean, you ever heard that before? I mean, you should have just known. I mean, don't you know me at all? I'm like, I guess not. No, tell me what it is, because if you would just tell me what you wanted, then I would have been glad to do it. He's told us. And if we would learn to delight in the fact that what he tells us to do, instead of looking at it as grievous, instead of saying, well, I guess I have to obey, I guess I have to forgive, I guess I have to be kind, I guess I have to be a witness, I guess I have to be joyful. He tells us this is what is going, if you would learn to delight in those things, you'll understand the heart of God. It's the beginning of wisdom. And then the knowledge comes and the understanding comes, as it talks about in Proverbs chapter number 2, as you seek after it, as for hid treasures, that's when the knowledge comes. And sometimes I know they say ladies has their prerogative, changed her mind. I understand. God's not going to change his mind. And you don't have to guess, because he tells us already in his word. So if we would learn to just delight in the things, and I'm sure if I delighted in the things that my wife delighted in all the time, I would understand better. And I'm human in my reasoning. I'm probably not patient enough. That's probably why I don't always understand. But with God, it's here. All I had to do is say, God, I want to find delights in this. And instead of looking at it and saying, man, I can't put any wicked thing before my eyes, because that's a commandment. And we're like, man, that's a bummer. Everybody else gets to watch those wicked things. Everybody else gets to listen to those things. Everybody else gets to go to those places. Everybody else gets to say those words. Everybody else gets to be a jerk when they want to be. And everybody else gets to do this. And everybody else gets to do that. And we shouldn't look at it as a grievous thing. We should be saying, man, I'm thankful God told me I shouldn't do these things, and I should delight in those things, because I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to fail him. I don't want to grieve his heart. And he's saying, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. And because the connection is there, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. How can a person delight in the commandments? It's because it helps us understand what God wants. And if our goal is to live consciously in his presence in a way that does not grieve his heart, the only way we're ever going to be able to do that is if we know what he desires us. We cannot create what image we think God should be and say, well, I think God should do this. This is what I think God would want us to do. Instead, let's see what it says he wants us to do. So here's some of the benefits of fearing the Lord. There's a ton of them in the Bible. These are just some that are there that I think could be helpful for you. Okay, benefits. Benefits of fearing the Lord. It gives us the right perspective concerning evil. It gives us the right perspective of evil. If we truly seek out to delight in his light and his commandments, to not want to grieve him, we're going to learn what he says is right and wrong. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. It gives us a proper perspective. And don't get me wrong, I know that God is patient and God is kind. He's called us to be long-suffering. But at the same time, we got to remember, we hate the sin. We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. And we hate what is done to people. But so many times people are making up excuses for sin that it becomes to a point that we no longer see it as sin. Instead, we say, oh, that's just their preference. And so there's a challenge with that when it's the fear of the Lord. If I don't want to grieve him, I'm going to think the way he does. It helps us. The second thing, it enables us to overcome sin. It enables us to overcome sin. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. It's like we talked about in 1 Peter 2:9, is that I'm going to show forth his praises unto him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As I learn to fear him, as I learn to delight in his commandments, it means that no longer do I care about this sin so much. The thing that means so much to me, the thing that has this hold on me, the thing that I love, I don't want to disappoint it by loving that more than I love God. That means I'm going to depart from that wickedness. I'm going to depart from that sin. I'm going to depart from that evilness. And I'm going to learn, and I'm going to see that this over here is something that's grieving the heart of God. And the fear of God, the love of God, not wanting to disappoint, the reverence of God, much less the fact that if I continue in sin, that God's going to chasten me. I mean, wasn't there times, at least in my house, there was times that I was not going to do a certain thing, not because of the fact that I cared about what God was going to think about it, but because of the fact that I knew my dad was going to encourage me when I got home if I did something wrong. It wasn't the fact that I had a good respect and reverence of God at a young age. It's the fact that I had a good reverence and respect of what the punishment was going to be. But we get a step further when we get past the fact that I don't want God to punish me or to have to chastise me, but I love him so much. I don't want to grieve the heart of God, and that's going to cause me to depart from evil. The next thing is, it gives us strong confidence in God. It gives us strong confidence in God. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have the place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. When I learn about him, and as I reverently fear him, I'm going to have confidence in him. Why is that? Because I know him. As I know him, I don't want to grieve his heart. I know that inside this area is a place of safety. Now, the world may attack, and it's going to attack. The devil might, you know, launch all the attack on me, but that's fine. I can have confidence in him because of the fact he's never going to fail me. Another thing is, God promises to meet our needs. God promises needs. The benefit for fearing the Lord is God promises to meet our needs. In Proverbs 34:9, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Look what it says, there is no want to them that fear him. They say, Pastor, isn't God going to meet all our needs? Well, if you're out there and you're living, and even if you're a believer and you're out there and you're not living right, do you think God's going to continue to enable you? Or is there going to be a time where he said, that's enough, and he's going to cut you off? We got to remember that if we learn to fear the Lord and live in that, he's going to say, I'm going to take care of the person that's fearing me. Another thing, God's mercy will be upon them that fear him. God's mercy will be upon them that fear him. And that's, I need God's mercy. I need God's grace. I need God's mercy every day. Luke 1:50 says, and his mercy is on them that fear from generation to generation. It doesn't matter which generation you are. It doesn't matter if you're the youngest person in the room or you're the oldest person in this room. It's from generation to generation. If you fear him, he'll be merciful to you. God directs them who fear him. God directs them who fear them. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 8 are some familiar verses. Verse 8 is not as familiar. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It continues on by saying, be not wise in thy own eye, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now, in that passage, you're saying, well, it says, if I trust in the Lord with all my heart and I lean not to my own understanding and all my ways and knowledge, that's when he's going to direct my path. Yes. But the only way you're going to be able to do that is by fearing the Lord. The only way you're ever going to be able to give your whole heart and lean not into your own understandings is when you truly want to reverence him and do not want to disappoint him and do not want to hurt him or grieve him with what our actions are. Isaiah 50:10 puts it this way. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? There isn't any. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And this is probably one of my favorites, is we'll be satisfied. It goes back to this happy thing is that, and I know sometimes it's like, Pastor, this seems a little strange. Following commandments is going to make you happy. It says it. And sometimes you got to preach to yourself, and you got to remember, he says, happy, you know, blessed is the man. He says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Listen to that promise. He that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. I don't know about you, but part of the problems when I get myself in trouble is when I stop being satisfied. I go out looking for something else or looking for something more. And in all reality, he says, you can find everything you need in me if you'll learn to just fear me. Now, the problem is we fear man many times more than we fear God. We fear more about what man is going to think about us. They don't oftentimes even think about us. But we are more afraid about what man's going to think about us, even though we're not really even on their mind, than we are about a God who is able to kill the body and the soul and can kill the body and cast the soul into hell. And who does care about us and who does think about us and who were on his heart and were the apple of his eye, all those different things. So why do we fear him so much? Why do we listen to more what man says than what God says? There isn't any promises over there about, hey, you fear man. The Bible even says the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. We worry a lot less what people think about us if we realize how little they actually do think of us. Think about that again. We would worry a lot less what people think about us if we realize how little they actually do think of us. Not the idea that they don't spend their time thinking about us, but they don't value us. So often we live our lives trying to please people who don't value us. Where there's a God who loves us and cares for us, who says he can satisfy us, who says he can meet our needs, who says he can bring happiness, who says over and over in the scriptures it's found, better is a little with the fear of the Lord. And then, go back, I want to make sure. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Over and over in the scriptures, there's benefits. But probably one of the things that is missed is that it brings true happiness. Pastor, I'm just not happy in this world, not happy in this life, not happy in my marriage, not happy with my church, not happy with my job, not happy with my friends, my family, not happy with my pastor, whatever the long list is. There are certain things God says will bring true happiness. Creating your own God is not going to do it. The fear of the Lord, understanding him, that's where wisdom begins. That's where the journey begins, when we get a good understanding and that reverential fear of not wanting to disappoint him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your help tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, once again, it amazes me time and time again in your scriptures, the word blessed or blessed is tied to something completely different than what we many times understand it to be. The world tells us we're going to be a lot better off getting things, but you tell us it's more blessed to give than to receive. The world would tell us that living according to our own rules and living according to our own set guidelines will bring us happiness. All we want is our freedom and we'll be happy. Lord, in your word it says that the person that's going to be happy or blessed is the person that fears the Lord and the person that delights in your commandments. Happy are ye if you do them. Lord, help us to embrace what the word of God says. Lord, help us to truly see the and try to understand the heart of God when it comes to certain topics. And Lord, that we would embrace what your desire is for us. Help us not to live in the fear of man. Help us instead to embrace the fear of God. Now we understand that as we love the Lord, that means we're going to treat people in a certain way. We're going to treat people with a certain respect. But Lord, we're going to care more about what you say than what any individual's going to say. Thank you for loving us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.